Hey, Pastor Ben here, continuing our study through the book of Galatians. Today we'll be finishing chapter 3, reading verses 27 through 29. We've seen up to this point that Paul is really honing in just on the function of law versus the superiority of faith. And he's been pointing to Abraham. We're going to see Abraham coming up again today. And just the mind-blowing idea that all of the believers, both the Jewish believers and the Gentile believers, have the same status. We saw in the verse 26 that he said, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And today we're going to expound on that more, and he's really going to hammer home the idea that our status before God, the righteousness that we get from Jesus, is equivalent because of our faith in Jesus, not because of our works or our connection in some way or another to some kind of familial line that leads us to be sons of God. It is only through Jesus. So let's read verses 27 through 29. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So he opens with this idea of for all of those who were baptized into Christ. And this word imagery is important. This baptism is a full immersion. And notice that he's not saying for all of you that were baptized are sons of God, but you were baptized into Christ. So the picture of baptism being a full, deep immersion into the water and coming back out is this idea that our lives are fully immersed into Christ. And that's an important word picture for us even today to recognize we need all parts of our lives to be fully immersed. We can't just dip our toes in the water. We can't just splash some Jesus on us and that's good enough. We really need to seek that full immersion. He's also not saying here that the baptism, that water baptism, is necessary for salvation, right? It's a baptism into Christ. But we also know that baptism as a representation of that very picture that he's talking about is an important step of obedience in our Christian lives, because it shows publicly, hey, I am devoting my life to Christ. And what could be more of a full immersion than to say to the world, I belong to God and I need Jesus in my life. And then if they still didn't understand that, then his next word picture makes it even more clear. He says, you have clothed yourselves with Christ. Right now, this idea is, again, not just putting on a scarf or putting on a sock, but fully putting on an entire suit, right? An entire outfit. Not just one piece, but a whole covering. Again, this is something that it's tempting for us sometimes to say, okay, well, I'll put on Christ on Sunday mornings or in this situation, but in these other places, I'm going to leave that garment at home. I'm going to do what I want. And Paul says, no, that's not the end goal. That's not the desire. Really, truly, Christ encapsulates all of our lives, all parts of it. And it is our responsibility on some level to make sure that we are seeking that out. And so as we consider being clothed with Christ, as we consider being baptized into Christ, it should be a freeing thought that we don't have to approach life on our own in our own power, but recognize just the awesomeness of being covered by Christ's righteousness. And then Paul goes on to make a listing of things that are not, he's not saying that these things don't exist and don't have differences, but this list that he makes is about the standing before God. So he says there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So clearly there's a difference between Jews and Greeks. Clearly there's a difference between a slave and a free person. Clearly there's a difference between male and female. So he's not eliminating the inherent differences of people, but he's saying that those barriers don't exist. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile. It doesn't matter if you're a slave or if you're free. It doesn't matter if you're male or if you're female. All are one in Christ Jesus, right? Those distinctions are totally abolished with regards to standing. Those roles still exist. There's a thought of an old rabbinic prayer where they would pray, you know, I thank you, God, that I'm not a Gentile. I thank you that I am not a slave. I thank you that I am not a woman. And that's likely why these three specific things are pointed out, because he could say a lot of other things, right? He could say you're neither a teacher nor a tent maker, right? There's any combination of things, but three specific things would have rocked the Jewish believers at the time into fully recognizing the folly of thinking that they were better or different somehow in their status, in their relationship to God. And then he closes it out with this thought of, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So the question isn't, are you Jewish? Are you a man? Are you free? Those questions don't matter. What the question that matters is, do you belong to Christ? And then this wonderful if, or for those that do belong to Christ, this is what you get out of it. You are Abraham's seed. And as we saw back a few sessions, that word seed, right, connects us back to Christ. He doesn't say that you're Abraham's seeds, because that's really what the Jews would have thought as a son or daughter of Abraham, right? I can trace my lineage back and I'm one of his seeds. And so Paul is once again breaking down that, no, the seed of Abraham, the promise that he was given, is available to any who believe and belong to Christ. And then he says, you are heirs according to the promise. Again, this would have been difficult for some of the Jews to think that the promises made to them that seemed exclusive would be available to the Gentiles. And so it would have been a hard pill to swallow for some of them to see, as we saw last week, the status of sons and daughters, and now the status of heirs as well, that there's a equality among all believers. But as we're going to find out in this next section, this idea of being heirs is really important, because we know that the status of being a part of a family back then would have divvied out different things depending on who was the oldest, who was the youngest, and we'll see that there's not that aspect. The heirs are treated equally among the sons of God. And so it's another comforting position for us to recognize we're heirs of the promise that God made to Abraham, the promise that God made to Adam, that he will destroy Satan. He will get rid of sin. He will create a new world. He will come back. These wonderful promises that when we're facing the difficulties of life today, we can get caught up in thinking, well, this world is just messed up and it's never going to get better. And while perhaps in our lifetime it won't get better, perhaps it will only get worse, but we know that we have a promise of eternity beyond that, an eternity with God, fellowshipping with him, worshiping him, being in his presence, being loved, being known, and being made perfect and whole and glorious. And that's what we inherit through the promise. That's the wonderful truth of salvation, of what salvation secures for our future. And so as we face the difficulties of everyday life, we have to hold on to that truth and knowing that the worst that happens to us in this world is the worst that we'll ever experience. And knowing that the best is yet to come. And that should help us to just gain perspective as we see our sonship, our daughtership, our heirship in being children and heirs of God.